Well, if we have our Bibles, we're going to be turning to Psalm 119, Psalm 119, and verse 12. We're going to start with verse 9 and read down through verse 16. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for just allowing us to be here. And again, we're so thankful we still have the freedoms we do. And Lord, help us enjoy them while we have them. Lord, because there might be a day come that they try to close our doors or they try to keep us from meeting as they are doing other places. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to be here. Work in our hearts, speak to us through your word, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So after we've seen there in verse 11, last week we looked at verse 11, David extolled the power and excellence of the written word of God to keep him from sinning against God. He says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." That helps us see that when we hide God's word in our heart, it has the power. If we truly are hiding it in our heart, meditating upon it, memorizing it, it has the power to help us not sin against God. David now confesses he needs God, as we see there in verse 12, to teach him his word, his praises. He praises his worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ as his teacher. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." See, if we were to be accepted to any school or college today, the teachers or professors would have to they would have to have certain credentials, and I'm sure my wife understands that. You have to have so much schooling under your belt, or you have to have some kind of degree. I'm sure now that you have to have a full degree to get into any kind of job like that. But we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He possesses the qualities necessary for him to be prophet and the teacher of his people. We take it for granted sometimes. Some of the things that's necessary to fulfill those positions, and we take it for granted. We look at our school systems and we look at our colleges. Those people that are getting in, the majority of them are liberals, and they're teaching. I would call it propaganda to try to brainwash our kids. That's why our public schools are horrible. But besides that, they still have to have credentials to teach. We see, we're going to look in Psalm 45, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. Thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And he's just praising the glory of Christ as the coming Messiah. That's what he's talking about here. And in Isaiah 61, we're going to turn there. It kind of goes along in the same pattern, describing some of the same stuff. But Isaiah 61, starting in verse 1, says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. So we see here a prophecy by Isaiah further reveals that this glorious anointed one was not to come merely as a king to rule over his people by his power, but would have a healing ministry toward the needy, especially those who were oppressed, tempted, weak, and ready to fail their faith. Those lives that had been wrecked and destroyed by sin. It says in the New Testament that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his ministry. Then we turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Starting in verse 1. It says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, and to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." So he goes on, and we see these Old Testament prophecies are in perfect agreement with Christ's invitation to his hearers. See, he come to seek and to save that which was lost. His invitation to hearers was there in Matthew chapter 11, which we're very familiar with this passage. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." See, Christ has called people to come to him. He was open-armed to everybody that would come. He says, "I will give you rest." We can find rest for our souls in Christ. But he also says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." When we take his yoke, he says his yoke is easy. And the reason for that, he is carrying the weight. He's bearing the burden. And he says, "My burden is light." He says, "I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So we see also in John chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. John 13. See, in verse 13 he says, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." What better testimony do we have than to the Lord to follow his guidance, to follow his example? Who better has the credentials, the qualities to be our teacher? As David says in Psalm 119, he says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." See, if the Lord had done no more in coming in the flesh than simply leave us an example of a sinless life, of perfect obedience and selfless good works, he would be worthy to be our teacher. Just in doing that. But the life he lived did but lead him to be the greatest, his greatest work, and that work was to come and do for, he did for all mankind. And that is securing our redemption for his people, for his sins, from sins cursed. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And why do I use that verse? It's because God has set a standard, and that standard is only met by God. That was God in the flesh, that was Jesus Christ. He has the credentials. He has the qualifications to be our teacher. And see, to do this, he himself had to be made a curse for us. He had to die a cursed death on the cross as our representative. He was there on our behalf, our substitute. He took our place. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a wonderful passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start there in verse 16. Let's actually go back to verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live not should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, what better person, again, to be our teacher than the very one who took our place? He was our substitute, our representative. He still stands today before God as our advocate. We can see that. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 2. But he what better person than to look, we have somebody that we can praise and worship, somebody who can stand in for us. He's our representative. He's our advocate, as it says in 1 John chapter 2. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have an advocate. He's there on our behalf. We see in John chapter 14, we're going to come back to hold your finger in 1 John, but John chapter 14 and verse 16, and it goes along here, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So when Christ left, he made sure we had somebody else to comfort us, to abide with us, to indwell us. So when we accept Christ, we have the Holy Spirit within us. He's our advocate. Now we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. That's just simply, he's the sacrifice for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He is our example. We're to walk as he walked, as it says here in verse 6. But we see also in verse 26, it says, chapter 14 of John, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's the glory of that whole thing, is when we learn or are taught of God and we get in the scriptures and we allow him to teach us, he brings it to our remembrance when we need it. And when I'm up here preaching, there's so many things that he brings before my mind, and when we're going through certain verses and then something else pops up over here that goes, it ties in with it. And that's how he speaks to us. He says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. See, Christ is our advocate. He is qualified. He's overqualified to be our teacher. But in John, Revelation chapter 5. This is another. See, as we read now, we'll read here in Revelation chapter 5. Praises are being sung to him who is worthy. He is worthy. Christ is worthy to be praised. But in chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. He is worthy to be our teacher. He is worthy to be our Lord. He left us an example that we need to follow. We need to walk in his footsteps. But then we go back to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 27 and 28. It says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his appearing. And then we see one last verse. And I'm really short-winded tonight. You guys will be thankful for that. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15. It says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. But we need not to quench the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit, who is given to teach you the things of God. See, David says here, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to God's word. He needs to heed everything he hears. He needs to follow what God has said. But with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. David was telling us here, or showing us the power of God's word in our life. If we are willing to take time to hide it, if we take time to read it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate upon it. But he says in verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, Teach me thy statutes. Teach me. He was blessing the Lord. He was thankful that God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, had the proper credentials. He had the proper qualifications to be our teacher. So he says, "Blessed thou art, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." And he tells us he's going to send us another comforter in the New Testament, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And he will teach us. He'll bring things to our remembrance. Let's pray.